Hi, I'm Victoria Pruitt from amodernhomestead.com, and you're listening to my friend Scott Terry on the North Country Farmer Show.
Where the barn stands tall in the morning air, and the moon fades away over the meadow there, there's a pile of metal and a bucket of tools. Good morning, Mr. Terry, do you have? I see a cow in the parlor with her head held high, and a little boy milking while the kitten stands by. There's a rattle of dishes and a rumble of two. Good morning, Mr. Terry, do you have the blues?
Hey folks, Scott Terry here, and you are listening to episode 274 of the North Country Farmer Show. And this is the first day of May, year of our Lord 2018, and we're broadcasting from the beautiful St. Lawrence Valley of northern New York State, right up here on the old Canadian border. And, it's been an interesting week so far. we've had a whole lot of interesting things going on. So I got up on Sunday morning, trying to get done so we'd go to church, and it was snowing in the morning, cold, miserable all day. Ended up keeping the cows in, and it has since finally warmed up again. It was nice today, going to be really warm tomorrow. I'm hoping that the grass is going to start growing, but who knows? Who knows? It's certainly been an interesting spring. But, I've had problems. My manure spreader was giving me problems today. Last night, as some of you know, I was banned from all of my Facebook accounts. So, if anybody has been trying to get a hold of me through Facebook, that doesn't work. You gotta email me, call me, or text me, because I got banned from Facebook for one of the most bizarre things that I'm not even going to get into it. If you're a member of the Old Paths to New Homesteading group that I do with Amber and Janelle and Shane, then you already know the story. If not, then you should be a member of that group. But so hopefully by the time I get done recording this, my 24-hour ban will be up, and I will be able to access my accounts again. And it's a good reminder that you should have a secondary account set up if part of your livelihood depends on on Facebook. But, yeah, so I did, originally I had something else I was going to talk about tonight, but I got this email this afternoon, and I thought, you know, this would be a good show. I could just kick back, pour myself a glass of Scottish spiced ale that I recently brewed, and answer this email pretty easily. And it's one of those types of questions that I actually get on a fairly regular basis. So I know it's a problem that a lot of people are dealing with. So we will go ahead and read the question, and then this episode is going to be one email question, because I'm pretty sure we can get an entire episode out of this one question. Dear Scott, we had to load some of our beef cattle last week, and it was just, like always, a terrible, stressful affair with plenty of yelling and screaming and hurt feelings. My kids are going to never want to own cattle or have anything to do with this business my husband and I are trying to build. I would love to load cattle once without it ending up with me hating my husband for the preceding 48 hours. Please give us some tips. I can't live like this. How do you successfully sort out the ones that you want to load from the rest of the herd? Any advice is appreciated. Truly. Okay, well, 48 hours. Oh, that's one thing I've learned about women. They hold a grudge longer than is reasonable. But you hate him for 48 hours. Well, in all seriousness, though, Trudy, I completely understand. Loading cattle, sorting cattle, can be a difficult thing, especially if you don't know what the hell you're doing. And judging by the way you present this question, I'm guessing that, to be perfectly honest with you, none of you know what the hell you're doing. And that might offend you. You might say, we've owned cattle for a blank number of years, but you're telling me that this is how it always goes. So I'm telling you that you don't know what you're doing. And so, let's see, I'm trying to figure out, because honestly, I don't have anything. This isn't like I'm sitting here reading off a piece of paper. I'm just reading the email here. This was a spur-of-the-moment thing, where I said, hey, I think we can make an episode out of this, and decided to do it. So I'm just going to be going off the top of my head, so don't expect any particular order to this answer. But sorting, loading, working cattle, or any livestock for that matter, begins with a phrase that I have used on the show many times. The idea that you have to be smarter than the blank. You gotta be smarter than the cow. You gotta be smarter than the pig. You gotta be smarter than the sheep. That's the key to being able to have a stress-free time of sorting, loading, moving, working around any type of livestock. And we're gonna start with the basic premise that we are the reasoning creatures whom God said, you have dominion over the beasts of the field. Here's the difference. We have the advantage if we stop and use the advantage that we have been blessed with. The fact that we are reasoning creatures who should be able to outsmart a bovine. The problem is, people that haven't grown up around cows get into the cattle business, don't necessarily understand cattle. So the first thing that I'm going to say is that what I want you guys to do, that you can do it as a family or you can do it individually. Maybe if you all still hate each other, you might want to do it by yourselves. If you've finally gotten over the experience, maybe you can do it as a family. But go out and just watch the cattle. But don't watch the cattle and think about something else. Don't watch the cattle and think about what you heard on a podcast or a radio show. Don't watch the cattle while you're staring at your phone. go out and actually observe the cattle. Watch how they move, what they do. What they do when certain things happen. What they do when they're startled. What they do when they're happy. Spend some time getting to know your cattle and understand them. It's not that difficult to understand how a herd animal acts and reacts to different stimuli. Okay? Your job is to go out there and learn it. And the only way that you can learn it is by watching. So, that's step one. I want you to spend some time watching. Step two, I want you to spend some time every day. Somebody should be out there milling around those cows so that it's perfectly natural for some two-legged humans to be out there milling around, walking amongst them, touching them maybe. It shouldn't be a frightful thing for them to see you in among them. Cattle need to be handled. By that, I don't necessarily mean, like, physically handling them as much as just being out there, move them around a little bit, walk in amongst them, maybe make one go one way, make one go the other way. Gives you a little bit of practice. Again, you can observe and see what they do, how they react to different things that you do. What it comes down to at the end of the day is it's a thinking game. And if the cattle are constantly outthinking you, then the problem's not with the cattle. The problem isn't that you somehow assembled the world's most intelligent group of bovines on planet Earth. No. The problem is that you are being kind of a piss poor thinker when it comes to being a human. So get out there, look, watch, observe, make notes. That's the advantage that you have at the end of the day. Because the ability for you to make cows go onto a trailer comes down to you being smarter than a cow. You're not stronger than a cow. You're not faster than a cow. The only advantage you have is that you're smarter than the cow. Now, I understand this might, at first, you might get kind of irritated with me and feel like I'm insulting you. I'm not insulting you. I'm telling you the truth. And the old adage, sometimes the truth hurts, sometimes the truth stings, so it's true. And this is nothing but the truth. Okay? Nothing but the truth. So after you get done being irritated with me for saying it, go out and observe. Now, some practical stuff. I assume that what we're dealing with is we've got a larger corral that you put the cattle in, and then we have a loading dock area where the trailer is, and that you're got the cattle in a small area, and you're sorting them into a smaller area that is attached to your open trailer. And now that those words have exited my mouth, I realize that that's probably not an assumption that I should make. I know for a fact that of many times where there have been people that have problems loading cattle and ask if I will come and help them, and I say, sure. And when I get there, there's some... I'm trying to think of a nice way to put it. I was going to say dumbass, which I guess is what I'm going to run with. Some dumbass setup, like a 40-acre pasture with a gate, and parked in the gate is a trailer with the door open, and, well, we need to sort out 5 cows, you know, 5 finished steers out of this group of 30, and get them onto this trailer. You know, I get there and I look and I say, you gotta be kidding me. You got some gates? Do you have some you're not gonna do it. So I don't have any idea what your setup is. But if that's the type of thing that you're doing, then before you think about loading anything, you need to start working on building some corrals and a loading dock that's separate from the corral. And then this way, your life will be a million times better. Now, I'm not going to assume that that's how you're doing it, but I just want to throw that out there. Because as I was saying that, I was thinking, well, you know, there's an awful lot of people that isn't just common sense and common knowledge. But you want to have a corral that you get them in, and then you want to have off of the corral the area that you're sorting into. And then after we get them sorted into that area, then we can get them on the truck or on the trailer. Okay? So that's one thing. You've got to be able to contain them in a small enough area that you can actually work them. You know, a 40-acre field or a 20-acre field or a 1-acre paddock is too big. You got to get them condensed down into a manageable bunch that you can work. And then off of that, we're going to have even a smaller area, kind of a holding pen. I call it a loading dock. I grew up in the cattle dealing business, and that was what we called it. So, you get the cattle, you get them into the corral. Well, how do you do that? Well, maybe you feed a little cornmeal or some minerals or something to entice them so that they go in there every day and it's just a normal thing. And the day that you want to load them, when they all go in there to get their grain or to get their mineral or to get their whatever the little treat is that makes them go in there every day, you know what's another good idea? Put the water trough inside the corral. Cattle go in there every day for water. And when the ones that are in there that you want, and some other ones are in there, shut the gate. Now you got them trapped. Maybe you got 10. And the 5 that you want are in there with the other 5. Or maybe you end up with all 30 of them. That you got to get 5 out. So, next, how do you get the 5 separated from the 30 or the 10 or the whatever? So, first of all, everybody ought to have a stick. I use a stick as a general term here. It could be an old fork handle. It could be a literal stick out of a tree. that I prefer is a cattle cane. Anybody that works cattle ought to own a cane. But any old stick will do. Now, here's the deal. The stick is not for beating animals. The stick is not for hitting cows. That is not the purpose of the stick. Now, I can think of a handful of times when you'll need to use a stick to hit an animal. But that is not the primary purpose. 99.9% of the time, that is not what you're going to be using your stick, your cane, your old fork handle, whatever the hell you're using for a stick. That isn't what it's for. That stick, which is why I like a cane, or an old broken off fork handle or something, is an extension of your arm. It's making your arm longer. Your arm is only so long. When we're working at trying to guide an animal into a place that we want it to go, it gives us a physical advantage over what we have for arms to be able to double the length of our arm. This is for guiding. Do you know how you guide a cow? You point its nose in the direction that you want it to go. It's as simple as that. When you have people working cattle and a cow runs past them and they say, "Well, I didn't know where she was going. How the hell was I supposed to know she was going there?" They are an idiot. You knew where she was going because her nose was pointed in that direction. You watch a cow's nose and you'll know exactly where she's going. Cows don't run sideways. Cows don't run backwards. Cows run in a straight line directly ahead of their nose. That means if a cow is standing and she turns her head and points her nose in one direction, that's the direction that she is going to go. If you would like her to go in the other direction, you reach out with your arm, or your arm extension, your stick, and you get her to turn her head in the direction that you would like her to go. With the nose pointing in the direction that you would like her to go, and like magic, that's where she's going to go. Or he. Or it. It's very simple. The most simple rule of a moving bovine is that it is headed in the direction that its nose is pointing. And there is no excuse. This is one place where it's perfectly fine to yell and scream at somebody. If somebody is so darn stupid that they can't tell that a cow's nose is pointing one way and it's going to go that way, then they deserve to be yelled at. And after they get yelled at enough times for making a stupid mistake like that, they'll learn their lesson and start paying attention to where the cow's nose is pointing. This is true, because I was once a young boy. I got yelled at plenty. Until it got driven into me that you watch the cow's nose. Know where she's going. So that is another piece of golden advice that to me is just like second nature, but I realize for a lot of people that are just getting into this stuff, it's not second nature. So that little tidbit alone could be a huge help to you. Could make the difference between night and day. Something as simple as realizing that the direction a cow's nose is headed is the direction that she's going to go. So you see where this is all going. You got your stick, which is an extension of your arm, so that you can guide the cow's nose into the direction that you want her to go. Now, cows are quick. You got to be quick. Working cattle is largely brains, but unfortunately, it also requires stamina and quickness on the feet. And I say unfortunately because I'm getting to that point in my life where I'm getting too slow. And it's funny, as I watched my father get so he couldn't really be of any use sorting anymore because he was too slow, but he knew exactly what everybody else was supposed to be doing. So he'd be there and he'd be the one giving everybody hell for not doing, "What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? Can't you see?" And it would frustrate him to no end that he's got to stand there and watch people not do the right thing when he could have done it if he was quick enough, but he wasn't quick enough. And I'm getting to that point. I just ain't quick enough anymore. And in a lot of ways, it's a young man's game. So your kids, if they actually learn how to do this stuff, are going to be the heroes of the operation. Because being able to turn on a dime when that cow makes that split-second decision that, whoa, I'm going this way, and you see that head start to turn, and if you're quick, you can beat her to it. And then she can do it again, and do it again. But you can catch her at every turn. You can catch her when your knees still work and you're not a crippled up old fart. But, you know, well, sorry, I was just thinking about working cattle with my dad. Dad, he's gone now. Now it's me and my kids, and I'm the crippled up old fart that gets mad because people aren't doing what I think I could have done if my legs still worked the same way. But, yeah, so being able to watch the head, move quick, point them in the right direction. Key. You got to be watch like a hawk. Be two steps ahead of them. And it's not hard to be two steps ahead of a cow. You should be able to outsmart a cow. Now, there's a few more things that you should think about. Now, when you were observing the cattle, you realized that, you know, they like to stay together. That's because cattle are a herd animal. Cattle want to stay in a group. They're a prey animal. They're a herd animal. They're a ruminating grazing animal. What gives them an advantage against predators is the fact that they can stay in a group so that the outside of the group might get massacred, but the inside will have a chance to get away. They like to eat a bunch of stuff and then go find a nice place to rest and sit down and then digest all their food, chew their cud, and all that good stuff. But the important thing here is that they like to stay together. Separating one cow from a group is something that isn't going to happen very often, because they want to stay together. So when you're taking animals in the corral and moving them into the loading area where you're sorting them, you don't want to just grab one. You want to be able to get a couple that you want together. And when you get a couple that you want together, then everybody's got to be on the same page. Say, hey, 243, 291, 757. They're right there together. Let's move. Let's see, get in there. Can you get those three together? If you can separate those three together, they'll stay in a little group together. And if you can get one of those three to go into the loading area, then all three are going to go. That's generally the rule with any group of cattle, no matter how small of a group, as long as you got a group, if you get one to go, the rest will follow. Now here's the other thing. Don't wait just to have those three together. Say you got those three and three others that you don't want. That's okay. It's even a bigger group, it'll be even easier. The bigger the group, the better. So you get in there, you guide the heads, you move them quick, quiet, and slow. You get them in there, shut the gate. Say, Scott, no, I got three that I want, and I need five. Three that I don't want are in there. Yeah, shut up. Think about it. It's going to be a lot easier to separate, to peel out the three that you don't want, who want to get back to the main herd now. Now they realize, jeez, I got outsmarted. I'm stuck in this cage. And the rest of the herd's out there. Well, you're not going to have any problem at all getting them to go out that gate to get back to the herd. So here you go. One guy works the gate. One guy gets in with the group. You work slow. You don't do anything unless you know it's a sure thing. You wait until the one that you want to... One of the ones that you want to get rid of is in the back of the group. You nod to the man working the gate. You grab your stick, you slip in there, you separate the one in the back, peel it off. It spins around, sees the open gate, pew! Back of the rest of the herd. Gate shuts. Work those cattle around the pen one more time. Two more times. Three, whatever it takes until... One of the ones you want to get rid of is in the back of the group. Slip in, peel her off, pew! Out the gate she goes. But you got to have somebody working the gate that's smart enough that if all of a sudden the one you want to leave and one of the ones you want starts heading for it, to slam that gate shut. Try it again. Now, I mentioned quiet. This is another thing. Working cattle doesn't require shouting and screaming at the cattle. Once in a while, it requires shouting and screaming at the people you're working with, but it never requires you shouting and screaming at the cattle. I have been to places where their idea of doing anything with cattle revolves waving their sticks in the air and screaming and yelling, and I have absolutely no use for those people whatsoever. I'd like to stick them on a boat, send them out into the sea, and then hope that the boat develops a really fast leak, and then none of them know how to swim and they don't have any life jackets. Might sound harsh, but that's how I feel. You got no business owning cattle or working around cattle if you're not quiet and calm. You want to know why most cattle are a bunch of schizophrenic freaks? It's because their owners are a bunch of schizophrenic freaks. That's why. If you are calm, your cattle are calm. It's true. You prove me wrong. You go and find one group of wing batty nutball cattle that you don't want to work with, and you tell me that the people that work them on a regular basis aren't just as nutty and just as schizophrenic as the cattle are. It's the truth. It's just the truth. You work your cattle quiet and calm, and your cattle are going to become quiet and calm. There's no place for yelling and screaming and shouting and waving sticks. And the only time that that is necessary, the only time you should raise your voice, is if, one, in a rare instance, when you're about to lose a cow that bolts and is heading straight for you and is going to run past you, and you feel that you have the ability, with a loud shout and a wave of your stick to stop her, in her tracks and make her turn around, then that's fine. Or, if you're trying to get the animal to commit to going onto the trailer, And you've waited, and it's not going to work, and you get... Then sometimes, if you get them headed towards that way, and then at the last minute, you let out a blood-curdling screech and take off like a wild maniac at them, and they might jump right on the trailer. Then you can shut the gate. But other than those two exceptions, there's no place for loud, wild, crazy stuff when you're working cattle. Just don't do it. Don't do it, or I might be forced to put you on one of them leaky boats. And this is the thing. What it comes down to, one, you got to be smarter than a cow. You got to understand how a cow acts, how it works, what it likes, what it don't like. If you don't understand cows, you're not going to move cows. I swear, if half of the people that I've seen trying to work cattle didn't know what they were doing, if the cows were just a tiny bit smarter, they'd be farming the people. And not the other way around. Number two, you've got to watch their nose. That's the most simple thing in the world. Where that nose is pointing is where that cow is heading. Not rocket science. Something a five-year-old can learn. You know how I know that? Because my kids, from the time they're about 5 years old, are working cattle. And if they're not smart enough to figure that out, I tell them how stupid it is. Most of my kids, by the time they're 7 or 8 years old, can work cattle better than most 30 or 40 year olds. Just a fact. All it takes is some observation. If you want to be out witted and moved by a 7-year-old kid, I don't think you do. So you just gotta think. Stop and think. Always have a stick, not for hitting cattle, but for an extension of your arm. Be quiet, calm, wait. Don't get impatient. Impatience is what always I hate working cattle or hogs or sheep or anything with a man that's impatient. Patience rules the day. It's a lot easier for an animal to calmly walk onto something than it is to force it. And 9 times out of 10, it just comes down to being patient. Patience, patience, patience. You are not going to compete with that animal in the realm of strength. You've got to take the advantages that you have in intelligence and patience. That's just the way it is. And yeah, you know, it's just pretty simple stuff at the end of the day. But it's one of those funny things about the agrarian life. It's so simple, it's almost stupid, but at the same time, it's so complex that the average person can't grasp the simplicity that's involved. But be quiet, calm, patient. Use a stick. Watch their nose. Be smarter than the cow. Remember to take groups that have the animals you want and then peel off the ones you don't want. That will save you so much time and frustration, it isn't even funny. I don't know how many people I have seen that are this all or nothing idea where they don't want to grab cattle that they don't want. Like hell, if you can get 3 that you want and it includes 8 that you don't, get them in there and peel off the 8. It's a heck of a lot easier to peel off the excess and get them out the gate than it is to just get the ones that you want into the loading dock. It just is. Try it. If you don't believe me, try it. If you don't think I'm right, you can tell me I'm wrong, but it doesn't mean that I'm wrong. I still think you owe me a beer for telling me I'm wrong when I'm not. You like that? But, no, in all seriousness, I hope those, I know those tips will help you if you use them. And Trudy, I understand that even with everything we know about working cattle, some days you just have a crappy day and there's nothing worse than a bad day moving cows when people are yelling and hollering at each other and all that stuff. But I think if you take these things that I've mentioned here and put them to work, and just starting by watching, I think things will improve for you. I really do. And yeah, well, I guess that's about all I've got to say on the subject. We will be back on Friday with another episode. Just kind of housekeeping things. I did get the first Patreon-only edition of the podcast finished and edited and put up. And so, Patreon folks, if you haven't listened to it yet, it is on the Patreon page. You can either listen to it there, or you can download it and listen to it at your convenience. And yeah, if you enjoy the show and you would like to support us, there's a bunch of different ways that you can do so. And you can find links to all the different ways that you can support us at northcountryfarmer.com/show. There's also links there to subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. There's a link to our PayPal. There's a link to there's a link for Amazon purchases. If you're going to buy something on Amazon anyway, if you take a few extra seconds and go to northcountryfarmer.com/show first and click on the buy your books and homesteading supplies on Amazon link and then put stuff in your cart, we get a little kickback. And of course, the thing that I'm really trying to get to take off is our Patreon page. And there's a link there to it. And if you join the Patreon, you can give as little as $1 a month. There's a bunch of different stuff. If you give $5 a month, which I don't think is outrageous if you actually enjoy the show and find it entertaining and useful, but you get a free North Country Farmer Show coffee cup. You get all of the content that comes from our developing the 49-acre permaculture homestead out in the bush. You get all of that content is only available for Patreon folks, and you get special podcast episodes that are only available for Patreon people. So if you enjoy the show, would like to support us, we would really appreciate it. And you can find all that stuff at northcountryfarmer.com/show. So, yeah, we'll see you on Friday. We'll leave you with a word from one of our fine sponsors, and we'll see you then. God bless.
This is the sound of a happy goat. This is the sound of a sad goat. Let's face it, goats can't tell you how they're feeling. That's why we created Bite Me Herbal Goat Treats, the healthier way to treat your goat. Our treats are made with high-quality organic ingredients. Each batch is handmade and prepared raw. That way, ingredients retain their rich, natural qualities. Choose goat treats like Achy Breaky, Squirmy Wormy, Baby Mama, Belly Buddy, Milk Money, and other delicious bites. Achy Breaky bites support their achy breaky joints. That way, your goat sings with relief. Got a pregnant goat? Improve her circulation with Baby Mama. Worried about worms? Squirmy Wormy uses herbs to discourage and kill pesky parasites. Check out Bite Me Herbal Goat Treats at BiteMeGoatTreats.com. BiteMeGoatTreats.com.